can praise God. Did you hear what the song said? Yeah. What did it say? They'll know we're Christians by what? Amen. Amen. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. I just make sure I'm in the right church. Amen. God bless. God bless. God bless. Let us pray. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do, God. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would preach through me, Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, your chosen vessel, God. I know I don't deserve it, God, but Lord, we're asking, Lord, that a word might go forth that might encourage, that might help, that might strengthen your church, Father, because that's what we endeavor to do, is to strengthen ourselves, to edify ourselves, God, that we might be able to uplift and uphold, Heavenly Father, Lord, the commission in which you've given us, God. Yes, they'll know that we're Christians by our love, God. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'll continue to bless us here at the Macedonian Baptist Church as we endeavor to do your will and your way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to the First Thessalonians, the first chapter of First Thessalonians. First chapter, beginning at verse number 3, and we'll read through the conclusion of the chapter. Verse number 10, I'll read it first in the King James, and then I want to read it in the Message Bible. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 3, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patient in hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto us in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols and served the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let me read this in the Message Bible. Every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you were in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patient hope in following our Master, Jesus Christ, before God our Father. It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hands on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it was not just words. Something happened to you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your conviction. You paid careful attention to the way we lived amongst you and determined to live that way yourselves. In imitating us, you imitated the Master. Also, great trouble accompanied the word, and you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit. Taking the trouble with the joy and the joy with the trouble. Do you know that all over the province of both Macedonia and Achaia, believers look up to you? The word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the master's words, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You are the message. People come up and tell us how you received us with open arms and how you deserted the dead idols of your old life so you could embrace and serve God, the true God. And they marveled at how expectantly you awaited the arrival of his son, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, whom rescued us from certain doom. From this passage of scripture, we'd like to take for a thought the power of a faithful witness. The power of a faithful witness. I've been dealing with Christian conduct and character for quite some time. And the reason why I'm dealing with Christian character is because in order for us to be powerful and impactful witnesses, we must have a character that is impeccable. We must begin to live out the gospel in our everyday lives. It goes without saying that talk is cheap. Anyone can talk about being a good Christian. Anyone can proclaim to have faith in God. But if it's not backed up with how you're living, it's not backed up with holy and righteous living, then it's just fleeting words. It has no substance. You see, because it's the life that you live that gives the words that you speak substance. If you're doing one thing and saying another, if you're living one way but preaching another, then you're living and you're preaching in vain. Because it's the lifestyle that makes the difference. Paul writes to this church at Thessalonica. This church was situated in the province of Macedonia. How ironic. This was a church that was not very affluent either. But they were generous. They had their problems, they had their issues, like any other church. But they were a faithful church. Paul had established this church on his second missionary journey. The really remarkable thing about him planting this church in Thessalonica is that he planted it in about 3 short weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month. Because in Acts, the 17th chapter, it says that he preached 3 consecutive Sundays in the synagogue. After then, because of his preaching and his boldness, the Jews of that city ran him out of town. But he, being committed to the gospel and the furtherance of the gospel, and the great growth of this church, takes pen in hand and writes to this church. He writes to this church that he might be able to encourage them because of their steadfast faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had come under great trials and tribulation. They had overcome great persecution, but they would not bow. And if there's anything that this church was really guilty of, it was looking for the return of Jesus Christ to come before it was going to come. They thought that it was going to come during their lifetime. And so Paul takes note of this, and he writes back. He said, listen, I understand that you're under tribulation, you're under persecution. I know it's been difficult for you. But I'm here to encourage you. And here in this text, he opens up by reminding them of what they had accomplished in Christ. He reminds them of their faithfulness. And he opens up this text saying, remembering without ceasing, first and foremost, your works of faith. Now understand that this mirrors what James says, that faith without works is dead. Again, we in the church, we can talk about faith. We can sing about faith. We read about faith in his word. But when it really comes down to it, do we really have that faith? Can we really say that we're trusting God? Well, if we say that we're trusting God, then what's wrong with our behaviors? We're still doing some of the same stuff we were doing when we were out in the world. Man, come on, I just want to be honest with this whole thing. You see, because when I really got serious about God, it became God first, and everybody else fell in line behind God. My life came to a place where I just wanted to please God. God, whatever it is that you want, I want to please you. I want to be pleasing in your sight. And if it means cutting away some stuff, letting go of some stuff, putting down some stuff, Lord, I'll do it. Because I don't want to disappoint you in any aspect. So some of us think that because nobody sees what we've done or nobody knows what we're feeling, what we're saying within ourselves, that it's okay. No, God knows everything. He sees everything. And I'm afraid that some of us are breaking the heart of God. But in his infinite mercy and his love for us, God still keeps us. Even when you don't always live up to the expectation that God has for you, he still keeps you. But that is by no means any reason for you to get complacent in your faithless situations. Because you won't trust God. You won't believe God to be able to go and do what God has told you to do and live like God has told you to live. Listen here. We've been talking about love. And the problem that I think I'm seeing is that some of us think that just because we say that we're loving, that we can still live how we want to live. And that's not how this thing works. Because if you love God, if you love your brothers and your sisters, you're not going to sin against them. That's me telling, you know, the man that tells his wife that he loves her, but then he beats her up later on in the day. Can he really say that he loves her? By no means. Here it is, we know that God loves us. That's undeniable. As a matter of fact, this whole 66 books of the Bible is really about a love story between God and us. And when it comes to love, God has always upheld his part of the bargain. But what about us? What about us? A part of our whole makeup in Christian life is our worship and our work that we render unto God in service and sacrifice. My question to you is that when is the last time you've sacrificed for God? When's the last time you've given an act of service unto God? Stop by and help somebody who may have been in trouble. Cut a neighbor's grass for them because they were sickly. This is what I'm talking about. This is what we were talking about, faith and having our works of faith, our works of righteousness. People don't care about your faith unless they can see it. I need a faith that I can see. My faith ought to be demonstrated in how I live my life. And guess what? Yours should too. It's not just the preacher. As a matter of fact, it's magnified when it comes from the pews. There are more of you than there are of me. If you would just live your life like the scripture says, if you would just do the things that God has told you to do, if you would just sacrifice and give up our own selfish ambitions sometimes, that we might be a blessing to somebody else. How much better would we be, this world be? Listen, Paul alludes to this as well in the text. I'm not looking for the world to do this. I'm not looking for justice in this world, this crooked, messed up world that I live in. I don't look for justice here. But I do expect it from the body of Christ. And I expect it from the body of Christ because Christ expects it from the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why he gave his life for us. Gave an example of what it means to sacrifice, to be sacrificial in our work. But then he talks here about our labor of love. Labor of love represents everything that we do, because everything that we do as a believer is filtered through our love, the love that we have for God, the love that we have for one another. Many of us profess to love God, but we don't love everybody. Listen, and I had this discussion because people say that loving people is difficult. And it is, because there's some people who are just unlovable. You ever run into people like that? They're just unlovable. But that is still not an excuse for us not to love them. Now, the truth be told, listen, I've never had a problem with loving people. And I don't know why. At least I didn't know why until I asked God. I said, God, it seems like every time that I love somebody, I get hurt. Because I have no problems with loving people and trusting people, and I get hurt. God, why am I like this? And God told me with no uncertain term, he said, because I made you like this. You were made like this for a purpose. There is a reason. And yes, you're going to get hurt. Yes, you're going to get talked about. Yes, you're going to get lied on. Yes, you're going to get walked on. All of that. And I built you for this, that you might be an example of what it looks like to, yes, even love your enemies. Love those ones who spitefully use you. Love those ones who, yes, still stab you in your back. You must continue to love it. Now listen, I'm not going to get in the way of no dagger. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that I will make every effort that I can to work with you through whatever issues you have with me to love you. Listen, Paul says in the 12th chapter of Romans, he said that it's our responsibility to live peaceably with all men. As much as lies within us, live peaceably with all men. And that requires a labor of love. And if you have a problem with loving, then you need to spend more time on your knees. You need to spend more time in your word and see how Jesus Christ operated. You need to see how Jesus dealt with his enemies. The people who didn't like, how did he deal with Judas? Well, we know the last official act that he did for Judas was wash his feet. And this is the one that Jesus knew would betray him. It was a labor of love. Even before they sat down to eat that last supper, he said that he had loved them to the end, every last one of them. That included Judas. And just because you love someone does not mean you let them get away with everything and anything. As a matter of fact, the love in you should be enough love in you to tell folk the truth about themselves. But listen. Because in Vacation Bible School, on the last day of Vacation Bible School, those who were Vacation Bible School, what was the title of the lesson? Speak the truth in love. So you can tell people the truth, but it must be done with a spirit of love. The whole objective is to get them to repent and to turn around. From there, listen here, I'm moving on. Because you know what? I said I was going to be short and I'm not going to be a liar. He goes on to say, then patient in hope, and that's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of our hope is in, he is that blessed hope. There is the hope of the resurrection. We have that hope that one day that we're going to rise, or we're going to be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, that we're going to be like him, that we're going to have glorified bodies with. That's my hope. My hope is not in this world. There's not enough hope in this world to get me to eternity. But my hope is in Calvary, and what Christ did for me, and that he justified me and gave me the right to heaven. I'll spend eternity with him. Listen, he goes on to commend them, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in the power and in the Holy Ghost, in as much assurance. In other words, what he's saying, that we didn't just come speaking any words. We backed up our words with how we lived our lives. We set an example for you. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to win this world, you must first and foremost set an example for them. What does Christian love really look like? What does Christian discipleship really look like? It's not just about you coming down here, joining the church, and giving your hand to the preacher. No, that's not enough. It's about a transformed life. You see, because the only way that I can present myself before you, the only way I can live this life and witness to people that whereas I have an impact is that my life has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. What does that look like? That means that I've come up under submission to the Holy Spirit. In other words, regardless to what may come my way, what I may think, what the Holy Spirit says makes the difference. I'm living a life that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm constantly listening, seeing, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Holy Spirit, what's my next move? What's the next thing that you would have me to do? But we live in lives now to where it's really about us intellectually. One of the biggest problems in the church is that the church has become too intellectual, too fixed on your PhDs in theology and all these other biblical pastoral care and so on and so forth. Every now and again, you just got to get back down home. Get one of them down home preachers, one of them ones that's concerned about people, that's concerned about affecting and impacting people's lives. So I try not to bring a whole lot of that Greek stuff. I mean, every now and again, I know it's important for a sermon or for a lesson, but I don't want to weight it down with it that you can't even understand it. My whole objective is that you might be able to understand. Paul said, listen, when I came to you, I didn't come there with all that garbage. I came to you just lowly in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I came. I came demonstrating the life that I'm preaching to you even before I opened my mouth. The reality of it is that folk ought to know you're a Christian without you even opening your mouth. They ought to know that there's something different about you. If they can't put their finger on it and say, yeah, he's a Christian or she's a Christian, they'll say, well, there's something different about this individual. And it's because of how we live our lives, how much we allow God to move in our lives. He said in verse number 6, he said, you became followers of us and the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the word, listen here, in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So these are people who are of tremendous affliction. These are people who were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at today. How do we handle affliction? Well, you hit me and I'll hit you back. That's normally how, because we're taught that as a child. You step to me wrong, I'm going to step to you wrong. That's what we do. But see, when you come up underneath the power of the Holy Ghost, he will give you the ability. He will, listen, empower you to be able to put up and to take some stuff you wouldn't ordinarily take. The reality of it is that most of us have blown our testimony with some of the folk that are closest to us. Because we have not come to a place to where we understand that there's some time that people they're gonna harm us. They're gonna say some things that are not pleasant to us. And how do we respond to it? You respond with love. You respond positively. You don't get down in the muck and the mire with them. You don't get in the pig pen with them. You get in the pig pen when you start smelling like them. And anybody been around a pig pen, you know it don't smell too good. But you let them go ahead and waddle on what they're doing. You let them go down in the pig pen and do what they're doing. But you stay right there with your feet planted on solid ground, the ground in which God is, and you can proclaim the word of God to them. And then you demonstrate it, how you're willing to forgive them, how you're willing to even love them, even in the midst of their assault towards you. You know, I know when I'm hitting home because they get quiet, man. Y'all be like, okay, Pastor, I'm gonna chew on that one for later. You know, I hear you, but I got to chew on that one right there, Pastor. Okay, I understand. Listen here. Paul is telling them this because he realizes what's in front of them. I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you this because I see the handwriting on the wall. I see what's going to take place. We have a very important election coming up. It's going to be a difficult road if a certain one, somebody gets in there. I'm not going to say. It's going to be difficult. I don't know what's going to happen, but you need to prepare yourself. And you're going to prepare yourself by being the best Christian that you can be. By understanding that it's love that will conquer all of this. And it's the love that God gives us. Listen here, it's the same love that we receive from God. Listen, when you're talking about loving the unlovable, start thinking about how unlovable you were to God. Think about that. Think about all the time that God had to forgive you for the same old mess that you kept getting yourself in and you kept doing, and God continued to forgive you for it. And now that you're out of it, now you want to look down your nose at other folk. And you don't want to extend the same mercy. You don't want to extend the same grace that God gave to you. You don't want to give the same love that God gave to you. This is what Paul is talking about. Listen, he said in verse 7, he said, so that you were what? An example to all that believed. Listen here, not just in the city of Macedonia, but in all of the region, they had folk talking about them and how they were living their lives. They had folk spreading the good news of these people who had come out of this pagan religion and now are following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're celebrating, they're talking about this miraculous transformation that has taken place in these people. And understand that God wants to see the same thing in his church. He wants to see the transformation power in your life, how your lives have been transformed. Not just intellectually, but in the heart. For it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. This is what the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Talk is cheap. God wants you to be an impact. He wants us to be impactful. Some of us are just satisfied just skimming into heaven. If we just make it, Lord, if I just make it in. No. When I go in, I want the gates of heaven to fling open for a whole lot of folk to come in. That's what I'm looking for. I'm just not looking to just get in by the skin of my teeth. I want some rewards when I get to heaven. I want to send up timber, as the old folks used to say. And I want it done by how I live my life. How I work in my faith. How I have a labor of love. How I preach this blessed hope. That's what I want. This is what Paul is commending them for. He's like, listen, the word is spreading. And that's what I want for Macedonia. I want the word to spread about Macedonia Baptist Church. This is not a church. If you're looking for entertainment, this is not the church for you. But if you're looking for real down-home teaching and preaching, word of God, and instruction, this is the place for you. Because it's that's what's going to get us there. That's what's going to get us where we need to be at. If I only entertain you, you'll leave out of here, and next week you'll be looking for even more entertainment. And I'm just not that gifted. I'm just not. But I do have the word of God. I do know that you can never OD on God's word. I know you can never get enough of it. Understand that later on in this book, Paul talks about it. He says that even though you've come a long way, Macedonians, there's still room for improvement. And I don't care how good you may think you are right now. I don't care how you feel like you've arrived. There's still room for improvement. Every last one of us, there's room for us to grow in Christ. And therefore, we are to get into God's word. We're to spend time with God in private devotion, meditation, that we might be able to hear from God. That we'll get beyond this thinking that we've arrived already. That there's nothing else that we can learn. There's nothing else we can do. That's why I'm bothered with, some people say that, oh, I've outgrown this church. Well, that means that you've outgrown the Bible, because as long as the Bible's here, we're going to continue to preach the Bible. We're going to continue to learn and see what the Bible has to say for us. If I preach for 1,000 years, I'll never preach everything in this Bible. I'll never preach every principle in this Bible. There's always room for growth in this Bible for all of us. I don't care how long you live. I don't care how smart you think you are. You'll never be smarter than God. God knows things about you that you don't even know about yourself. There's been some things that God has been trying to get out of your life, and you just keep ignoring him. But he's patient with you, because he wants you to repent. And that's my whole motivation. My whole motivation is to get you to a place of repentance. I want you to leave here. I want you to reflect on your life. I want you to look at the mirror of God's word. I want you to ask God, show me what I look like to you, God. Just ask him that question. And then just sit patiently and wait. And see when God begin to reveal to you some things that he wants for your life. But most of us are afraid that, because what it comes down to is that God has a will for our life, but you have a will for your life as well. But whose will you surrender to? Let me ask you this question. I'm going to close here. What has doing it your way gotten you? Think about that. You might as well try God's way. Because doing it my way has gotten me in nothing but trouble. Run into a brick wall. But I'm so thankful to God that we serve a God that's able to forgive us, to pick us up. Why? Because he paid the price for us. I'm going to the cross. I told you we're going to be short. Jesus Christ is the one that makes that way possible. He is the one that makes it possible for us to even be in a relationship with God the Father. It is him. It is his payment that he paid for our sin at Calvary that paid for all of this, that empowered us and gave us the ability to live the lives in which we were called to. You need to make certain that you really have faith in what Christ did for you. Over 2,000 years ago, he came down and suffered, bled, and died on an old rugged cross for your sin and for my sin. He gave himself for us. He surrendered his life for my life. He gave up the ghost. He died upon the cross, buried in the tomb, but rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. This is what he did for us. That's the reason why I can tell you that I'm going to live for God. As long as I live, I'm going to give God glory in my life. And I'll give him service. I'll give him sacrifice because he served me. Didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life for me. He came to sacrifice his life for me. And so, yes, he did die. He was buried and rose again, but he's coming back. He's coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle. And understand that you need to be ready. You need to make certain that you are ready. Not just joining the church, not just giving the preacher your hand. Make sure that you are ready. And that means you must have faith in what Jesus Christ did for you in your heart, not just intellectually, not just in your mind, but in your heart, because that's where the transformation takes place. God wants to transform your life. He wants to give you a brand new life. Not one that's fixed up or anything like that. He wants to give you a brand new life. That's what he wants to do. And that way we can serve him, not just in time, but throughout eternity. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. If you want to experience a brand new life, if you want to experience life everlasting, this is your opportunity. God desires to do a brand new thing in your life. If you would just surrender, maybe you are looking for a church home. This is an opportunity for you. I know a couple weeks ago we had an individual that did not know that this was the opportunity to come down and join with us here at Macedonia Baptist Church. So I want to make it clear that if you want to be a part of this ministry, you want to be a part of the work that is going on here, then we're asking that you come now. Because we can use you. As a matter of fact, God can use you. Hey, whatever gift you have, God desires to use it for his glory. And understand that there's no better place than to be used by an almighty God. To know that he is the one that is leading and guiding and directing your life. God wants to do it. Is there one? Amen. The gospel has been preached. Is there one? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock here. If you're riding the bus, please come on back. 2 o'clock, the buses will be preparing to leave to go over to God's House of Prayer in Highland Park, Michigan. The service begins at 3 o'clock, so if you're going to drive, I recommend that you get the bus because there's not a whole lot of parking space over there. They do have security, so they will be out there. They have one parking lot that is not that big, but you know, there's parking on the streets as well. So if you would, come on and join us at 3 o'clock, where we'll celebrate Pastor Michael Townsend's 27th pastoral anniversary. Amen? All right, please stand to your feet. If our hearts are satisfied, you know that Jesus is Lord. Come on down to the throne of grace. as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you today, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do, Father. Yeah. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, God. Yeah. And we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your word will have an impact on our lives, God. Yeah. That, Lord, we will be doers of your word, that will understand the value of backing up what we say, what we do, Father. Yeah. Understand the value of setting an example, good Christian example. Yes. And God, we realize, Heavenly Father, Lord, that there are some things that we're doing that we must put down. All things may be legal, but not all things are profitable, God. And so, God, we're praying, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'll allow us to lay aside those weights which thus easily beset us, God. We're praying, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we'll be effective and impactful in our witness, God. Because there's a whole world out there to be won for the glory of God. So God, teach us how. Empower us, Heavenly Father, Lord. Bless us as we depart from this place and go over to God's house of prayer. Those who will attend, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that, God, we will arrive there with a spirit of fellowship, God. Those who cannot make it, God, we're praying, God, that you would just touch them. Bless them, Father. As they go to their various destinations, God, keep them. Continue to look upon our sick list, Heavenly Father, Lord. Continue to bless, Heavenly Father, Lord, those who are on it. God, touch this nation, bless this nation, God. Now, Father, bless these your people, God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that, God, that they would be a blessing to those who are in their circles, Heavenly Father, Lord. Those who are around those, the co-workers, God, the neighbors, God. We're praying right now that we be an example. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, God bless you again.